Call our meeting to order, first quarterly meeting at the Board of Western Kentucky University. And Mr. Secretary, I will ask you to conduct a roll call.
Chair Bell.
Present.
Mr. Dahmer.
Present.
Regent Ernst.
Present.
Regent Hickman. Present. Regent Henson.
On time. Present.
Regent Johnson.
Here.
Regent McKinney.
Present.
Regent Nichols. Regent Porter. Regent Ridley.
Here.
Regent Smith.
Present.
Mr. Chair, we have 9 regents in attendance. We constitute a quorum.
Thank you very much. We'll next consider minutes from our October 27th meeting, which we had a copy of, I believe.
I move approval.
Second.
Have a motion by Regent Johnson, a second by Regent Hickton for approval of our October 27th meeting. Any discussion, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Minutes approved. The committees of the board met on January 12th to discuss each of the items on their respective agendas and recommended that at that time submitting the agenda items to the full board for consent action with the exception of one additional item, AA4, which has since been added to our today's agenda. That item will be removed from the consent agenda for further discussion and a separate vote. With that, I will ask Regent Ridley to present the academic affairs portion of our meeting.
Thank you, Chairman Bell. The Academic Affairs Committee met, as Chairman Bell mentioned, in open session and discussed all the topics, AA 1, 2, and 3. And since we are in a consent agenda, do I hear a motion to place those on the floor for discussion and reports? Or would someone like to remove one of those items for further discussion?
So moved.
So moved. In a second.
Second.
So we'll open those for discussion. For today's presentation, I've asked our provost to come in and discuss any of these items or report, but we will vote on those if there are no questions. There being none, I call for a vote. Those in favor of all three motions, of all three action items, AA1, AA2, AA3, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And the motions pass. Now we have items, a very good thing going on here, AA4, and Provost Lee will be reporting on that for us.
This is indeed a very good item for many reasons, really. Every fall, our office, the Office of the Provost, issues an invitation to across campus and all friends of the university to nominate folks to receive honorary doctorates from Western Kentucky University. There is a committee of administrators and university distinguished professors convened by Richard Miller, who is vice provost, that reviews these nominations and makes recommendations to me for recipients of honorary doctorates. I make a recommendation to the president. The president then makes a recommendation to the board. And I'm delighted to say that we are recommending to you today the presentation of an honorary doctorate letters to Chancellor Davenport. Chancellor Davenport is a Bowling Green native. She was an undergraduate in the Department of Communication at WKU. She has a master's from an organization's communication from WKU. Many folks in this room have known her for a good many years, particularly your parliamentarian, Dr. Capps, who I suspect she would eagerly describe as one of her mentors. Chancellor Davenport has had an extraordinarily impressive career. She has won numerous teaching awards. Her publications are influential and distinguished in her field. Beyond that, she has held progressively more and more significant and responsible administrative positions at the University of Kentucky, at the University of Kansas, at Purdue University. She was named provost and senior vice president at the University of Cincinnati, and when their president left rather abruptly, she became interim president of the University of Cincinnati, and last year she was named chancellor of the University of Tennessee. So really, by all the standards of an academic career, excellent teaching, significant scholarship, significant academic leadership, Chancellor Davenport is highly accomplished in all of those areas, and it is extra nice that she is home, folks, that she's from Bowling Green, and she is a two-time graduate of this university, and has worked, is I think, an outstanding example of the kind of doors that working with our faculty can open to our students. So for a great many reasons, I'm delighted today to recommend to you all that Chancellor Davenport receive an honorary doctorate of letters from Western Kentucky University.
Would you like to speak?
Sure.
Mr. President, I had a wonderful conversation with Chancellor Davenport, and we both have the great good fortune of being graduates of the same Department of Communications with the same mentor, and it is a terrific recognition, not just of her freshman year and her accomplishment at being named chancellor, but a remarkable arc of time that she spent investing in students. And I think it's a testament to the experience that we all have here at WKU that she's carried that with her during her career and has been student-focused, and I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us to celebrate her accomplishment.
Chair Ridley, I'd like to move for the approval to award the honorary doctorate of letters to Dr. President J.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any other comments? Yes, would you like to make a comment?
Well, this is delightful. I spoke with her yesterday, and she's very excited about this award. She's a very good representative for Western Kentucky University. She always... every time she has the opportunity, she gives credit to Western for her success. So I think it's a really nice thing that you're doing for her.
All these wonderful things that have said for her, I've met her, and she certainly does hold the standard for our university. And Mr. President, thank you for saying that it's student-focused, because once again, that's an example of exactly what we're about, and I'm very honored that this has been brought before this board, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to put that motion to a vote for the board. All those in favor of the motion, AA, for to honor this wonderful alumnus with this honorary doctorate, would you please vote yay?
Yay.
And those opposed? There being none, it passed unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's the final report of the academic committee at this time.
Thank you, Regent Ridley. We'll move into the executive committee portion of our meeting, and we have three action items, all of which were discussed and presented at our committee meetings, and I will present those as part of our consent agenda. I'd like to make a motion.
I will. Make a motion.
Motion.
Second.
And a second to approve the three items on our executive committee meeting. Any discussion, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Thank you. And Regent Johnson, I will ask you to present our finance and budget committee.
Thank you. Excuse me. Likewise, we have consent items on our agenda, SB 1 through 5, and I'd like to ask if anybody would like to remove any one of these particular items for separate consideration and discussion. Hearing no such request, and I will accept a motion to approve action items 1 through 5 on the finance and budget.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from second. Any further discussion, comment? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, like sign. All action items passed unanimously. We have one rather large information item.
I'm going to request about a 5-minute break, and we will reconvene for our budget stabilization presentation. So, take 5 minutes.
And to allow it and its representatives of the faculty, the students, and the staff to communicate with the administration and the president. That is the very definition of shared governance, and it's opening a new door for this university as we go forward, address our issues, and solve our problems. I'm reminded of something I think about all the time. And that is that the path to success is often paved with the courage of the individuals willing to make the change and to move it forward and to work together. Dr. Chotsky, I would ask that if you begin your presentation, if you could introduce the members of your budget council. These people are courageous in working with the president. And with that, I'll turn the floor over to you and President.
Thank you, Regent Johnson. Thank you, President. I'm going to call on my team members, Dr. LaDonna Hinton. Would you please stand for a minute, please? She's the Associate Vice President of Administration and Budgets. Ms. Kim Reed, Assistant Vice President for Resource Management. Laura Delancey, Assistant Professor in Department of Library Technical Services. Ms. Stacy Garrett, who served as a resource for us. She's an associate budget director. Dr. Jeff Katz, Dean of Gordon Ford College of Business. Mr. Jim Cummings, our CFO, chief financial officer. And on the other side, Dr. Eric Reed, chair of Department of History. Savannah Molyneux, who is the vice president of SGA, she's not here. And Jennifer Miller, who is our internal audit director, is also not here. As a budget council chair, I couldn't have asked for a better team. Please have a seat. They worked hard. They were dedicated. The task that was given to us was difficult, and they put everything they had into that task. On behalf of the budget council, I want to start out by thanking President Caboni for giving us the opportunity to work on the budget stabilization plan. The budget council has existed in its current form as an informal advisory group to the president for the last 5 to 6 years. Last fall, when President Caboni arrived here, he redefined the charge and reconstituted the council. He gave us broad latitude to come up with a comprehensive and detailed plan to not only address the immediate shortfall of $15 million, but also to come up with a long-term way forward so that we could do well, we could succeed as an organization. The president needs to be applauded for taking a creative and a strategic and innovative approach. He sought creativity. And he specifically asked all of us to think about what's good for the institution, not necessarily what's good for our own areas of affiliation. The most pertinent cost drivers for us were the enrollment trends in each college and the bottom line fact that WKU today is a smaller institution than we were a few years ago, both in terms of the number of students we have on campus, as well as the number of faculty and staff. We were tasked to do a difficult job, manage a cut. We were very deliberate in our decision making. When we often revisited each decision, sometimes more than once. The reason for that was very simple. We wanted to be able to provide a rationale for what we were doing and why we were doing that. From the financial standpoint, We recognize that our task was critical to the success of this organization that we all love. However, we never lost sight of the fact that at the end of the day, there are people who are going to be impacted by the recommendations that we are going to make. And the way we approach this, or at least one way in which we approach this, is by taking a serious look at the vacant positions. Last fall, President Kaboni instituted a personnel action process that basically forced all of us, especially that committee, to ask the difficult questions before hiring an additional employee. Can we still do our job of educating our students and addressing the safety and security and the well-being of our employees without hiring that person? And if we could, then the answer was we should not go ahead and hire any person under the current circumstance. First, from the 30,000 foot level, our enrollments are down as are our full-time equivalent students. For academic units, i.e. the six colleges, as well as the non-academic units, the goal was to use a common set of cost drivers to come up with a set of consistent recommendations. That word came up a number of times during our discussions. We wanted to be consistent in everything we did. As you can see from this table, there's a large variation in the five-year trends of enrollments and student credit hour production across colleges. As we were charged, we came up with little over $15 million in reduction to address the current shortfall. But that, to us, was only part of the charge. In fact, Dr. Kaboni explicitly had charge number two to go along with that, and that is how that charge was addressed through policy recommendations. The headwinds that we are facing, whether it is state funding or it is enrollments coming from demographic trends, those headwinds are not going anywhere. And so it was very critical to us to come up with a set of policy recommendations that were going to lay the groundwork for our success going forward. And those policy recommendations, in the end, may turn out to be even more critical than the immediate mechanism by which we are filling that hole. Under the leadership of Drs. Paula Potter and Bruce Schulte, the strategic planning process is well underway. And as Dr. Kaboni said in his first campus speech, the budgets and the strategic conversation have to be dealt with in the same sentence. They have to be dealt with in the same way. So these are the recommendations that we are making to the president. Again, these were very difficult conversations for us, but these are the difficult conversations, as Regent Johnson said, we need to have. We are recommending a little under $10 million in personnel reductions, about $3 million in non-personnel operating reductions, and about $3 million in a category that is still work in process. I'd be very happy to take any questions, but before I do, I want to take a couple of minutes to thank Regent Johnson for his guidance all along, and I want to thank each and every one of you for giving me an opportunity to talk to you. Thank you.
President Bowen, please.
Thank you, Hindu. I want to compliment Professor Chachi. This was an incredibly difficult task, and he has demonstrated incredible leadership through this process. He and the members of the Budget Council have spent countless, over 100 of hours, working on what is a complex and crucial task for the success of this university. And I'm so appreciative of the time, their effort, their thoughtfulness as they've crafted these recommendations. I'm also pleased to say the vast majority of them I'm accepting as recommended. There are a few policy changes that are included that I think are best left to the strategic planning group, and I'll forward those to Paul and Bruce as the strategic planning steering committee continues its work for consideration and inclusion in ultimately what is our roadmap for the future of this institution. There are a handful of recommendations that I'll discuss that have merit, but will need to be further evaluated to see what the larger effect is, and so I'll take those under advisement. And there's only one recommendation that, and only in part, that I will not accept the recommendation. The Budget Council has provided target reductions for each division, and these are going to change somewhat as we move forward through this process. The decisions about what we will and won't implement and what we'll study might shift those numbers as well over time. Once those decisions have been finalized and displaced employees have been notified, we'll provide the final documentation of what was eliminated for each division of college. So from here, what I'm going to do is go through each one of the recommendations, and then we'll discuss questions and thoughts on the process if we could. I'll turn your attention on the handout to page 4 under recommendations for the fiscal year 2019 budget. The first recommendation is on compensation for faculty staff, and that we recommend, at least the Budget Council has recommended, a 4% campus-wide salary increase goal. You will recall this is something about which I have been talking since I arrived on campus. It's something that we must do for the faculty and staff that are here, and I accept their recommendation. On page 5 at the top, the council recommended that the ongoing budget stabilization restructuring process should advance not just our institutional goals and strategies, but also be integrated with the planning process in which we're engaged, and also support the RAMP process, which is our Resource Allocation Management and Planning Committee's work, to think about a new budget model that is more nimble and flexible to the institution. I also accept that recommendation. We'll move on to policy recommendations, and the first is regional campuses. In order to best meet the needs of our local communities and the student populations we serve, we're going to return regional campus management to DELA, embedding our regional efforts in the organization that provides online degrees and short-term corporate engagement will enhance both the flexibility and the speed with which we can respond to market demands, and even more quickly meet the needs of those communities and students we serve through regional campus education. I want to be clear. We remain committed to building successful partnerships in each of those committees and continuing our work, and we have a strategy to maintain regional education and workforce development through those campuses. But I accept that recommendation. The Budget Council recommended that where feasible, we align our budget allocations to expenditures, and I accepted that recommendation. The next three I forwarded to the Strategic Planning Steering Committee. Institutional scholarships, we've already begun some of this work, but they suggest we develop and implement a new strategy balancing scholarships based on academic merit and need. We began this conversation at convocation last fall, and I want us to shift our attention not just to number of scholarships, but how we focus on net tuition revenue through our scholarshiping and awarding of aid. Academic program review. The Budget Council recommended that beginning with the arrival of the new provost on July 1, we go through a significant academic program review process. I agree with that recommendation. We've already begun that conversation in the strategic planning process, and so I forwarded that also to our strategic planning steering group. Finally, the Budget Council recommended post-tenure review for faculty, a little bit outside perhaps the purview of the Budget Council, but I appreciate the recommendation, and also will forward that to our Strategic Planning Steering Committee, so as they continue their work, they can integrate that into our ultimate strategic plan. I accepted, and we actually already have begun this last fall, the recommendation that we have continuance reviews for all university leadership positions. These are the folks who serve on my cabinet, and we've begun already the process of those 5-year reviews to ensure that folks who report directly to me are measured, and we all have an understanding, at least I have an understanding, of how they're meeting the objectives we've set for them and how their employees and their charges view their leadership. I accepted the next three recommendations from the Budget Council at the top of page 6 to improve collaboration between service units and explore a shared service center model to improve efficiency and effectiveness. The idea is that we will bring certain functions that work across the enterprise together in a central location instead of having duplicate effort across the enterprise. I accepted the recommendation that we work with either Council of Academic Deans and Human Resources to think about a transitional retirement program both for faculty and for our staff, and that we do this in such a way that it's mutually beneficial both for our faculty and staff and for the institution. Construction projects. I accepted the second portion of this recommendation. I agree that we should have a policy by which we assess and plan for budgeting ongoing operating costs, that's maintenance, utility costs, depreciation, in addition to our construction financing costs anytime we go through a construction project. I won't accept today the budget freezing new building projects, and I'll be clear about why. I don't want to give up any degrees of freedom we have as an institution or that I have as a president, and more importantly, given what's the conversation in Franklin around a $300 million pool of funds that we might be able to access with matching dollars, I don't want us to not be able to take advantage of situations that are presented to us. So I won't accept that portion of that recommendation. Inter-office charging, I accept the council's recommendation that we disallow organizations across the university that have the ability to increase the charges they charge other institutional units. We won't allow them to increase those charges to manage through budget reductions. One unit that I will not name publicly, the last time there was a cut, increased their charges in such a way that they didn't have to actually reduce anything. They had other folks shoulder the burden. So we're not going to do that this time. The next recommendation, I understand and have heard both the message and the sentiment of the recommendation that for very senior leadership that includes a faculty appointment, the Budget Council recommended that we might bifurcate those contracts into one portion of administrator salary, another portion for the faculty work, where somebody would leave that if they left that senior leadership role and returned to the faculty, they would retain only the faculty portion of that salary. I understand the rationale behind that, but I want to make sure we're not doing ourselves, particularly as we search for a new provost and other leadership positions, that we don't cause ourselves any harm or difficulty in the marketplace. But I certainly am of the understanding and in agreement that if one leaves a senior position and no longer holds those responsibilities, one's compensation also should be adjusted. I accept the recommendation that revenue-dependent units were feasible, revenue-producing units were feasible, be made revenue-dependent, and creating assessment that helps to cover overhead costs. Moving to division-specific recommendations, on travel, I accepted the recommendation to explore new policies or practices to reduce travel costs, including software and other types of efforts to standardize our spending behaviors. I also agreed, and we've begun an international at the top of page 7 to look at our travel, faculty-led study abroad options, policies, and procedures. The next recommendation I also accepted to reevaluate the governance structure for DLO to increase accountability, to take a look at revenue sharing, how that works across the institution, and really be clear about how we define the effort of folks engaged in those activities. Enrollment management. The first bullet point on this recommendation I forwarded to our strategic planning group. I agree that we must look at our management structure and our strategies and must consolidate personnel and think about strategically how we do better and more in this area. I also accept the recommendation to consolidate enrollment management and some student-facing units under a single organizational structure. On fees, I accepted the recommendation that we conduct a comprehensive evaluation of all of our university and academic fees, with an eye toward being more simple, more transparent, and where we have an opportunity perhaps to reduce those fees. The next two recommendations I forward to the Strategic Planning Group. International programs, we've begun this work in the fall, but we want to take an even more close look at the programs, office, and personnel associated with our international efforts. And advising, I want to make sure our advising work is the most efficient and effective it can be for our students, particularly in that first and second year. The next two recommendations I've accepted in whole. Looking at the operations of and possible organizational combinations of the WKU Research Foundation, the Office of Research and Creative Activity, and the Center for Research and Development to find efficiencies and combinations that might not just produce cost savings, but also strategic opportunities. I accepted the recommendation that related to philanthropy that any post-capital campaign bonuses should be funded by campaign dollars. With athletics, I agreed and accepted the recommendation that institutional support for athletics will be addressed in the RAMP model. I'm going to take under advisement and think about and take a look at the recommendation that the growth in per athlete athletic spending should not outpace the growth in per student academic spending. That is a pretty complex single recommendation. I want to make sure we take a close look at that. So we'll evaluate that one going forward, and I'll take it under advisement. Under the Office of Internal Audit, I also suggest that we take this one under advisement, and evaluate it. The Board of Regents will have to be part of this since the internal audit auditor function was created by the Board. The Budget Council recommended that we consider, or you consider, moving the reporting structure of the Office of Internal Audit to report administratively directly to me as WKU's president, but to report functionally to the Board of Regents. And I will certainly take this under advisement. It's out of my area of expertise, and because it was created by the Board, I think that should remain, and that decision should remain under the Board's purview. So we'll work on that in the coming months. Under admissions and recruitment, I sent to our strategic planning group the two tuition strategy bullets, including considering what the effects of both incremental tuition and differential tuition might be. I've accepted, and as a matter of fact, we've already done this, enhancing retention and persistence by revising our admissions policies to end the admission of undergraduate students with CAI composite admission index scores below 60. The next one, though, I will take under advisement. It is more complex than just exploring the implications of raising the CAI threshold to 65 or higher. This requires a deep dive on our admission standards and making sure that both GPA and ACT requirements work together to ensure that students that we're admitting have the best chance of being successful here at WKU. Under human resources, I sent to the strategic planning group, which has already been working on some of this, standardizing the processes and policies for awarding staff compensation adjustments, reclassifying positions, and thinking about positions across the enterprise and salary bands. I accepted the recommendation to continue the Personal Actions Approval Committee, and we will continue to use that to create vacancies across the university in personnel positions. Purchasing, I accepted both of these recommendations to continue to evaluate spending to reduce unnecessary purchasing and personal service contracts, particularly the last 3 months of the year, so making sure folks aren't buying closets full of paper in advance of the coming year. Also reducing the number of WKU-owned vehicles by 25%. We currently have more than 250 vehicles on campus. We're going to put a practice and a process in place similar to the personnel process whereby any new vehicle acquisition has to be approved centrally, and that will give us an opportunity to really reduce the number of those institutionally owned vehicles. The last I partially accepted. The Budget Council recommended that we eliminate cell phone plan allowances to reflect any work-related cell phone usage doesn't have incremental costs. I'll accept this for individuals who make over a certain salary threshold. I do not want those at the lower end of our salary scales to be obligated to purchase a cell phone out of their personal funds. I want to make sure that if we have a bus driver and the bus driver as a part of her employment is required to have a cell phone, that we subsidize that through the institution. I think that's only fair. So
What I want to do is leave you with some final thoughts before questions. By implementing these recommendations, we will reduce our total budget by about $15 million. But let me distill this down for the big things that I want you to fully understand and what we will do as a result of this collective effort. And the first is regional campuses. Most of the savings will be created through efficiencies and removing duplication within the current structure of our regional campuses. We're going to make sure that our focus is more market-driven and more oriented towards student service, while we ensure we maintain our commitment to building those workforce communities. Number two, the university and college will be dissolved by July 1. The academic programs in university college will go to their natural homes and the remaining colleges across the university. Those things within university college that are duplicative of other support systems across campus will go away. Those things that are retained will be integrated either into student affairs or other appropriate places. Last and third, and most importantly, all of these recommendations from the Budget Council will result in a significant reduction in our total workforce at WKU. As you're aware, several months ago, we initiated a hiring slowdown and began a stringent review process to capture vacant positions as part of this reduction effort. Unfortunately, we did not have the opportunity to begin early enough to create the full amount of savings. So right now, there are about 50 vacant positions at the institution that will be eliminated. However, another 90 to 100 filled positions are likely to be eliminated as we implement the Budget Council's recommendations. Many will be in the areas I've just mentioned. Others may be yet to be determined. Vice presidents and deans will begin to make those decisions in the next few days, and we expect to have a finalized list of those positions by mid-March. I know there will be a lot of angst among our employees about which positions are in question, and folks would love to have a list of them today. But we must give the vice presidents and deans time to review the recommendations. These individuals are closest to the operating units, and they're the best suited to make the decisions about which positions in their divisions should be eliminated and what their colleges and organizations can withstand. And I'll end with this. I know this is painful. Unfortunately, this is only the first phase. As I described to you, this $15 million is largely the result of cumulative enrollment declines. And the decision made last spring to fill a budget hole with one-time dollars and carry forward funds. Our next challenge will come in April, when we likely will know the results of the state budget, which may include a significant reduction in our state appropriation, an increase in our employee contribution to pensions, and we'll also have a better sense of fixed cost increase. It's a difficult time in the life of our institution. Our fortitude and our leadership is being tested. It's certainly not what I envisioned for my first year as president. However, we can't stick our heads in the sand and not deal with it. If we're to be completely transparent about our financial situation, we must take these actions. And so with that, Mr. Johnson, thank you for your efforts and being involved in this. The leadership of the board has been outstanding. I appreciate your support, but I think we'll both stand for questions and comments.
Well, thank you. Thank you, President. I think it'd probably be appropriate now for members of the board if we can just proceed with whatever questions you may have. Try to do it in an organized fashion. So I'll open up. Anybody have particular questions they'd like to ask? Comments they'd like to make? Okay, your hand first.
On your presentation, you had the cost driver slide. There was an administration instruction spending ratio. Can you elaborate what this quantity actually is?
So we use the IFRS data, right, and the ratio is administration spending to instruction spending. The administration spending is institutional support, and the instruction spending is instruction plus academic support plus library. And we use actuals rather than budgeted data. And this describes the trend over the last few years.
Could you tell me the ingredients of that ratio again?
The numerator is institutional support, and the denominator is instruction, academic support, and library.
Thank you. Andy, I thought I saw your hand. Maybe I'll go over here. Okay, Andy, I saw your hand go over.
Okay, so I guess my two questions were reconciling the very first recommendation where we transfer regional campuses under DEGO, and then also the evaluation of DELO's governance structure for accountability, revenue sharing, and definition of effort. So I was wondering how that will be enacted. Is there going to be like a council that would evaluate that, or will DELO be independently like reevaluating regional campuses, just the structure of that?
I think it's a great question, and certainly all of these recommendations are evolving as we implement them. What the Budget Council recommended was much more of a shared service center model for regional campuses. And so thinking about do we need on each one of the campuses each of the services that we provide, or could you do that centrally in a way that serviced all three of the campuses to kind of eliminate duplication and centralize the effort? The other thing moving to DELO does, this is our outward-facing distance learning and short-term training organization. It gets the regional campuses a bit more flexibility, but also changes the pace at which they can be responsive, I think, to market demands. And so one of the things we know is that as we have conversations with our partners in those three communities, that sometimes we're challenged at moving quickly enough to address their needs and being nimble enough with the processes as they exist today. And so the hope is, and part of the work will be, ensuring that we create flexibility, create nimbleness, and create opportunities to address the program needs in those areas directly connected to the economies of those communities. I've said in many different locations that my goal is to hone our efforts down to what are the 5 to 7 degree programs connected directly to the local economy that produces the workforce that those communities need, and that we build hand in glove with local leadership and our local community college partners. Moving to DELO, I think, gets us some more alacrity as we go through that process.
Thank you.
John.
A lot of thanks. This is taking a lot of heavy lifting and understanding numbers and the ability to dig deep. Sometimes in very sensitive areas is very tough. And I want you to know that I respect everything that your committee has done. I know most every member on that committee, and I know it was a personal sacrifice for them to spend the time on this, and their passion for this university is pretty remarkable. So I applaud all of what you've done. However, what I want to ask is, it appears to me, and I'm asking for clarity here, that you all have spent hours upon hours trying to plug a hole that has been created over the past 5 years, a trend that obviously in your cost drivers you've noticed. And yet, what we're on the horizon of is a mystery of a statewide budget we do not know. So the discussion and the recommendations that you have made is to plug a $15 million hole that is created and that project expires in June. So in April, we're coming up with another unknown that we're going to have to address that is part of a strategic plan for a minimum of a 2-year budget. Would that be am I clear on how that will work?
Right. So we have at this point engaged Huron Consulting, and there is a separate committee that's working with Huron Consulting, in effect, start working on the fiscal 20 budget. So we do have the next 17 to 18 months where we have to not only address this hole, but like you said, what's coming down from Frankfurt, whether it's state funding cuts or pension bill or any additional demographic enrollment issues. But that's, like President Caboni said, that's something that's coming up next.
If I may add,
please.
I want to maximize the attention that we focus on
thinking through our budget model. You may recall at convocation I talked about needing a budget that is more flexible, responsive to market trends, allows us to reward performance and shift dollars. The challenge that universities face frequently is the budget and the resource allocation process becomes ossified. So as markets change, as enrollments shift, the dollars stay in the same places. And so what we're going to work through for the next 6 months and then have a parallel system for a year is creating a budget model that shifts resources based upon data, including enrollment data, which is important, persistence data, graduation data, and other things that we think are important to the life of the institution. We wouldn't be in this place with 1,000 more students that we recruited, that we retained, and graduated. And so that's where the focus will be. That's the behavior we will reward, and hopefully the budget model that we create allows for those dollars to shift so that instead of having a budget council appointed to make difficult decisions, what we know is that every single year, as numbers move, so do the budget allocations. And so it smooths out these kinds of reductions instead of making them, making small moves and then really large moves, which is disruptive to the institution. So smoothing that over time. And that's the goal of the ramp process that we're engaged in as well.
The conversations have to change from how to slice the pie in different sizes versus how to grow the pie. And that's what the new budgeting model is going to encourage and promote.
Well, and we did not discuss this prior to this meeting, and that leads me to my next comment. And that is, we need to focus. We understand what our issue is. We have a flat tire. We can either stand and argue that it's flat. We can either call for assistance or we can start walking. And all of these things that we change are within our control. What's taken place in the past, we can't change. But the spirit of our institution will carry us forward here. And once again, thanking you. The next effort's going to be very hard. But I do not want to lose focus as we talk about this future of why this exists. And number one, there are three topics. And both of you have just mentioned that. This is about revenue. We have continually had a reduction in state support. So as we criticize where we are, let's remember why we're here. Number two, we have continually been increased in state mandates, and we are on the threshold of a serious state mandate of requiring the universities and higher education to support attention. That's number two. The state has increased our expenses without our control, and they have reduced our revenue stream. And the last thing is that we have direct control over is that the reduction in student enrollment and retention. Each faculty, staff, alumni, board of regents, president, we all are responsible for trying to recruit and retain quality students at a quality institution with a fair value. I'm not saying that to be a cheerleader. I'm stating that as a member of this board as factual. And so with that, I thank you once again for your efforts. And we have hard lifting in front of us, and we can achieve that.
Thank you. Pat, you?
Yes. First, I greatly appreciate the Budget Council's work on this, and Dr. Chachi, I'd like to say I really appreciated your comment that the fact that you never lost sight of the fact that people would be impacted, and that's what I want to focus on. At the end of the day, this is numbers on a spreadsheet. These aren't positions. These aren't figures or dollars. These are people. These are real people. These are our friends. These are our colleagues. And the impact on them is what is most concerning to me among this. I would like to ask Dr. Gaboni if you can address how, once the decisions are made, and I also applaud the fact that the decisions we make closest to the units impacted rather than some group, and I think that that's university-wide, that people are going to understand that those are the best people to make those decisions, and we're appreciative of that, even if it takes a little bit more time. But I know that I'm confident you have a plan that treats people with compassion and respect in this, and I want to make sure give you an opportunity to talk on that.
Thank you. One of the things that we've talked about the entire way through this process is that as we work through the dissolution of positions, that we do it with the most care and grace that we can for those of you who are involved. These are not just 100 people, these are 100 families. And the only bright line or bright lining I can see in this is that we're doing this in 2018 and not in 2008. The economy is strong in our area. We know there are 1,200 positions open in Warren County. I'm sitting down with the chamber leadership next week to talk about what are the positions available and how do we make sure that this talented group of folks has opportunities to fill those vacancies in Warren County. Any of the positions that will be eliminated, folks will be on in their positions through July 1, or June 30, sorry, unless they separate before then. So there's a good 4-month runway for folks. The other thing that Human Resources is poised to do is provide support, not just support around benefits and the technical things, but also support around how it is one prepares for interviews and going through the search process. And so this is the worst decision that anyone in a leadership position ever has to make. And we've done it with the most amount of care that we possibly can. I know folks want the information as soon as I received it, but I appreciate the patience that the community has shown with not just me, but the Budget Council, to know that we want to do this as carefully and considerately as possible. And that means making sure that we know which positions are going to be eliminated before those things are made public. There'd be nothing worse than to think somebody is losing their job and there was a mistake made with that position placed on a list. And so we're going to do this carefully. We're going to do it with the utmost consideration of the people and the families and the individuals involved. And we're a family. And you're right, these are our colleagues, our friends, and we're going to support them as they go through that, and we'll emerge on the other side. Thank you, Ted.
Anybody else on the board have any comments? Andy's hand has gone up once again.
I apologize to Paul.
You don't need to apologize. Wait.
Okay. Well, these are more questions regarding minutia, especially about the things that are taking under advisement and not necessarily being implemented at this time. But it's specifically about the motion for athletics and then the 65 CAI score increase. I was just wondering what's currently being done at our benchmark institutions, especially if we are taking these under advisement potentially to implement with our institution in the future.
Yeah, I think they're good questions, and we don't have the answers to them. I received these recommendations about 60 hours ago.
Okay.
And so we're working through them as carefully as we can. We'll take a look at those and figure out what the implications are for the institution. But we can't move with haste and do damage. That would be a mistake. And so as we work through the process, we're going to do it as carefully as we can and make sure that whatever decisions we make put us on a more solid footing going forward. If I may add just one concluding comment, this is not unique to Western Kentucky University. This is part of a national trend around that higher education is going through as an industry, and our peer institutions are facing the same kinds of challenges. Our sister institutions in the state, we just happen to be leaders in going first. We'll have similar types of difficult conversations on their campuses as the spring progresses. We know that international enrollments are down across the United States at many institutions, so we're not unique in that enrollment decline. We know that there's been a national conversation around who pays for higher education and how much should they pay, and we're continuing to move to a place where families and students pay an ever-increasing burden. Even in that context, we must make sure, and you notice in this, we've paid very close attention. The Budget Council did a remarkable job ensuring we didn't do anything to have students and their families shoulder the burden of these reductions. We have to continue to be mindful that we're an institution of opportunity and that we allow folks to continue to access our institution and be successful in paying attention to that affordability challenge for all of our families, but particularly those that are first in their college, first in their families to go to college.
John?
With us addressing the short-term issue of the $15 million, once the legislative news comes out of what might take place for our biennium budget? When is there a calendar of events that may take place? Will there be another budget? I'm sorry to add any additional work, but I mean, how do you see that unfolding?
I'm going to let President Cavone respond to that.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm sorry, President Cavone, but it is something I...
Thank you, Professor Chachi. I appreciate the opportunity. We wanted to focus today on the work at hand. We have had ongoing conversations that this would be a two-phase process. The second phase would be different than the first phase, obviously. In some ways more difficult because these are things that are relatively well known. What I am hopeful we're able to do as an institution is to advocate and help our policymakers understand that not only do we need stable and predictable funding, the pension burden that the entire state faces it has tremendous effects on us as a campus. And I know we have to work our way out of that, but perhaps we can do it over a longer period of time than a single year. Many of you know that we have a single-year increase from 44 cents on the dollar to 84 cents on the dollar proposed for one of our systems. It's a $9 million pension charge. So as we work through the rest of the legislative session, working alongside our policymakers and our local delegation to help really shape that conversation and help our leadership in Frankfort understand what the effects on our organizations are across the state. So that being said, there is not a timeline. I don't want to set expectations for certain dates, but it will be later in the spring. And let's hope that as we advocate for higher education and stable budgets, that number comes down, doesn't go up.
Thank you.
I want to address one of the recommendations which you sort of rejected. I wanted to publicly state that the Senate of the University, that is the faculty, has gone on record a year ago with a very similar resolution which essentially calls for a halt of all construction projects unless they're fully state funded. What I think I would like to see in terms of the recommendation you accepted, that maybe we can include in this assessment also an assessment of current usage of these buildings, because I believe we have built some buildings which are underused, and maybe there needs to be some redistribution of space instead of building new things.
I completely agree with you that we need to take a look at our space utilization. One of the things a new budget model will do is make very clear for revenue-producing units how much the space it is they're using costs. And one of the nice things about our responsibility-centered management model is that it makes clear this is the revenue that comes in, and these are the things that you're using that cost money, and one of those things is space. And so I hope that, I agree with you, and I hope that as we go through this process of thinking about a budget, the revenue that we generate is aligned with not just the academic units, but the academic unit space usage is part of that equation. And it always is. So it is a great point and one that we're going to address.
Good.
Andy?
One more brief comment and questions. So I'd first like to thank you and the Budget Council for doing a comprehensive evaluation about simplification and reduction, if possible, of fees. I know that that really helps students. A lot of the fees are not actively communicated to the student body, so on behalf of all students, I wanted to thank you all for that. Additionally, my final question is regarding the shared services model. So I noticed you enumerate which foundations are under foundations that you'd like to sort of combine: WKU Research Foundation, Office of Research and Creative Activity, and then the Center for Research and Development. But I was wondering how that also relates to the shared services model. So collaboration between service units and then the Shared Service Center for Efficiency. So how would this deal with strategic planning moving forward, breaking down silos, and then potential centralization or relocation?
I think all of those are to be determined.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons we go through this process, why we have a strategic planning process. A good example of this, and it's the world that I came from, is our marketing effort. We have individuals across the university that do, and I'm going to put in quotes, marketing. They may do a lot of other things besides marketing. The question is, does a department need a marketing position, or would it be more efficient for the institution to have a larger service center filled with people who have marketing expertise who then provide that service out to campus? One of the places you see this most frequently is actually in information technology, where there are centralized services available to campus. The campus then accesses those services. There are some, through the budget model, some fee or support that is shifted back to IT. But the idea is that you centralize or put together expertise, and by doing that, you create economies of scale and you drive down cost. But this takes time to do. It's not, you can't now in their positions. There's also, where does the strategy align with where the institution's heading? And so those are all ongoing conversations that we'll have. And I know the strategic planning steering committee and the working group on budget sufficiency and infrastructure has already been having these conversations. So it's ongoing work.
All right, I think we've come to the conclusion of this presentation. I want to conclude by just simply saying that I don't think management and stewardship of this university is tested in good times. And if it weren't toward the shared governance concept that you have brought to this university, President Cavone, the Budget Council wouldn't have had the opportunity to work with you and together go forward to solve the problems that we have. And so I appreciate it. Mr. Chair, that concludes the Finance and Budget Committee portion.
Thank you very much, and thank everyone for their thoughtful questions and comments. As Chairman, I have the ability to make a few final comments. I do have a final statement that I'd like to also make, but clearly this university is at a critical juncture, and if the 20 years before President Cavone were described as transformative, I think maybe today marks the beginning of the real reformation. Someone once told me adversity introduces oneself to himself or herself, and we've got plenty of that, and I think over the next 2 years we'll find out what we're made of and who we are. Will like the answer. No time in at least the recent history of Western have we had a group like the Budget Council come together with such meaningful work. And along with all the others on the board, we want to thank and congratulate Chairman Chachi and his group, many of whom are here today. I especially personally want to thank Regent Johnson, who has been part of that group every step of the way, and I think the work that you all have done is remarkable. The physical realities facing WKU are as stark as they are unavoidable. No amount of soaring rhetoric will extract the pain or ease the suffering that individual loss of employment inflicts. Yet it remains the primary responsibility and the duty of this body and this administration to make the necessary changes to ensure the sustainability of this great institution. While the task ahead may seem somber and unpleasant, the stakes are much too high to shirk this duty or to dwell on the negatives. But instead, all members of this university must unite in our efforts to evolve and meet the challenges facing us head on. It is my opinion, and I hope that of others, that we must also renew, reinvigorate, and re-express our belief that higher education and liberal arts remain critical to the maintenance of an informed, educated citizenry and the survival of a free nation. We must resist with all our might any notion that would devalue or discourage the pursuit and attainment of a higher education degree. Perhaps like never before, we must all be champions for the virtues upon which our country was founded upon which the health and vitality of the republic depends. Within the short span of less than 8 months, President Kaboni has given us every reason to have confidence in his ability to lead us through these turbulent waters. The processes which have been implemented pertain to both the Budget Council and the ongoing strategic planning mission have been, as much as possible, inclusive, comprehensive, and thoughtful. Still, neither he nor any one individual can affect the necessary changes unassisted. It will require more than a passively involved and supportive board and administrative staff. Faculty, students, and all staff, all of whom represent the lifeblood of our university, will remain central to our success in this process of reformation. The alumni, the greater Bowling Green community, and the entire WKU family must be engaged and active participants in our quest for ever higher ground. So in closing, on behalf of the spirit which sets WKU apart from all others, let each and every one of us rally to the cause, summon the best of our angels, and dare to be an example that others who are similarly challenged may wish to emulate. We have a few announcements that pertain to scheduled meetings for the rest of this year. Is there any other business that anyone would like to bring before us today? If not, I will entertain a motion for adjournment. A motion?
Second.
And a second for adjournment. I will say that immediately following this meeting, President Kaboni and me and Provost Lee are making themselves available to the media for further questions. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign.